They are not men, monsieur. They are dead bodies.
Dead?
Zombies. The living dead.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
Neat.
What's the matter? The food ain't that bad, baby.
Are you choking? What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Now I was seduced, and my innocence rigged by a demon that became my own.
Shall consume and devour you on every side, and utterly crush you! And that by the power of Satan, a flame shall go forth from his mouth, which shall burn you up and reduce you to nothing in hell!
Resurrects.
Believe in the boogeyman. Rumor
Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
Feel their claws run up and down your spine. You'll dig it the most.
Hey there, fiends. Welcome to Room Order Radio. Welcome to the Really Weird Spook Show. Thanks for tuning in to the world's original all-horror broadcast. With me, your host and dancing monkey, Doom Dragomir.
He wants to have the good life eventually. He wants the big house and the nice car and all that. But at this point, for the last, I don't know, I'd say maybe 10, 15 years, he's been delivering newspapers.
This week on the broadcast.
Yeah, let's go with the first one if he's going to be there. But it's a great film, but it's not really, Freddy himself is not actually that big of a character in it. He's more of a dark shadow. He's there, but it's not the Freddy character that everyone knows.
With a whole heaping helping handful of horror happenings from the Toronto Underground Cinema, Charlie Lawton joins us. Oh yeah! Our blood-spattered guide chats again with Martin Popoff about early satanic heavy metal.
As proof that you have purged your mind of all false teaching, you will now break this crucifix and throw the pieces from you.
And the caustic critics are taking on Alien 2 on Earth for some reason.
Splashdown is scheduled for 9:45 Pacific Standard Time. Weather conditions in the splashdown zone are clear and favorable. The Navy is standing by to recover the capsule as soon as it hits the target area. Frogmen will then secure the flotation belt and open the entry hatch.
Terror Tunes en route from Hawkwind. We've got Jonathan Colton Coven, sorry, Coven, Ball Arena, plus tons more fun to come on your home for horror, rock, and roll. Rob Zombie on Room Order Radio, Death and Destiny inside the Dream Factory. Let's go!
Maybe I should have killed 400 or 500 people, then I would have felt better. Then when I felt like I really offered society something. You know, if I wanted to kill somebody, I'd take this book and beat you to death with it, and I wouldn't feel a thing. It'd be just like walking to the drugstore.
Do you feel blame? Are you mad? Do you feel like Wolves Kebab for Frenich? Get Frenich, Boots, 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 Peter Remix, Google, Peter Bugger, the Fabulous Friday, Vedis, Wagabaga?
My awareness and my consciousness is not the same as somebody that goes to school and has a mom and dad. See, not having parents have left me in another dimension, so to say, you know.
Death, I'll hold you down. Unholy sex, This is Kareem Hussein, the director of one of the episodes of the upcoming anthology Film Theater Bazaar, and cinematographer of other episodes of Theater Bazaar that will be premiering at the Fantasia Film Festival this summer. And you are listening to Rumorg Radio.
Caleb Colton no longer belongs to our world. He belongs to hers.
But you have to learn to kill.
He belongs to theirs.
I don't want to kill.
He makes a kill tonight.
And they all belong to the night. Near dark. Pray for daylight. The night has its price.
Alright, so first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan?
I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Less Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street. All of a sudden it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
Alright, this is Feedback. Joining me at the Rue Morgue studio of Neverending Screams is the winner of the first ever case tried at the Horror Court, Mr. Charlie Lawson. How are you, Charlie?
I'm good, how are you?
I've been better.
Still licking your wounds?
A bit. How does it feel to be the prevailing victor in the first ever installment? It is, eh?
Yeah.
Have people been showering you with praise and presents?
Occasionally, yeah. Just a few.
Fair enough.
One day you'll get there, don't worry.
Well, despite my growing resentment towards you, I thought it would be opportune to bring you back to talk about some Festival of Fear-related shenanigans of which the Toronto Underground Cinema is playing a prestigious part in.
This is true.
Right?
We are the great off-site venue for the Festival of Fear this year.
Now, I'm not in the habit of promoting a lot of Toronto events on Rumorg Radio simply because most of our listeners don't live in Toronto, and I think it probably pisses them off and or alienates them when they hear about events happening here. But in this case, what I'm hoping is that some of our American friends will actually make some travel plans after hearing this and get up here in August to visit Toronto for the Festival of Fear.
I think they should. They're going to miss an amazing weekend if they don't.
So it's up to you to convince them.
I'm on trial again.
What's first, man?
Well, we got a surprise for you, sir. Some old favorites making a return appearance.
Do I get a hint?
Well, let me see. They were picked up on a 509B violation, sir.
509?
Uh-huh.
B?
Yeah.
I don't believe I'm familiar with that one.
Well, sir, it's not used in Manhattan very much. It involves the illegal detonation of poultry.
Now, y'all ain't planning on fucking these chickens, are you?
Do you fuck chickens?
Well, I had thought about fucking some chicken before. If you want to have a good time and you need some pussy, you can cut that chicken's head off, stick your dick in that ass of that chicken, and that damn chicken will go crazy on your ass and go...
Every time I come here, I seem to be put on trial.
So this year, the Festival of Fear is running from the 25th to the 28th of August. It's actually 4 days for the first time, from Thursday, August the 25th to Sunday the 28th. There's a shitload of off-site events, including one which we actually have the scoop on right here, right now, on Rumorg Radio. Tell us, what's going on?
On Saturday, August 27th, Rumorg and Danilov Productions is proud to present This Filthy World, an intimate evening with none other than John Waters, a legendary filmmaker. He's going to be performing his one-man stand-up show at the Toronto Underground Cinema.
The cinema which you happen to manage.
I do. I'm very proud about this event. I think it's going to be great.
What do you know about this event?
I know it's going to be John performing his stand-up show, which is great if you've ever seen the documentary about it. He's a really talented, very charismatic speaker.
This filthy world, it's a beautiful place, isn't it? My only real Hollywood movie was something called Crybaby, which was basically a juvenile delinquent... juvenile delinquent musical. This movie, of course, starred Johnny Depp, and at the time he was a teen idol on this television show, 21 Jump Street. And he said to me, I hate being a teen idol. I said, well, stick with us, we'll kill that, you know.
Similar to filmmakers like Kevin Smith, who do long stand-up shows, interactive Q&As with the audience, are very likable. They get a lot of their information from their early career as well as their modern stuff. And it's going to be a really good show. And this is also, as far as I know, the first time he's ever performed the show in Toronto.
But that's not all the Toronto Underground Cinema is doing for the Festival of Fear this year. There's more.
Not at all. On Thursday, August 25th, Rumorg is proud to present a rare 35mm screening of Near Dark with none other than Lance Hendrickson there to perform a Q&A after the screening.
We want to give him a week. Then it's decided. We'll give him a week to see if we can call him one of us.
It's also going to be hosted, Richard Krause is going to be doing the Q&A with him, and it's going to be a really awesome evening, because Near Dark's a film that I think a lot of people should enjoy to get the chance to see again, especially on the big screen.
And there's one event happening at the Toronto Underground that weekend that perhaps dwarfs all the others.
Yes, the one I'm most excited about is Friday night on August 26th.
It's my favorite night of the year!
It's a dream date with Freddy. Robert Englund himself will be there to perform a Q&A after a rare 35mm print screening of Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors.
Amazing. Actually, it's a film I actually saw numerous times on its original theatrical run. It was a really fun sequel, maybe my favorite of all the sequels.
It's definitely, I would say it's the best. It's so much fun. It's a great song. It's awesome. It has some great kills. Freddy's really kind of getting into his character.
The stop-motion animated little puppet Freddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's also the first one that really ushered in the classic Freddy Krueger one-liners in a very definitive way. And yeah. then, in fact, I don't think any of the sequels ever really lived up to
part three. Cemented his character in a way that none others really captured.
I had the most awful dream.
Lane, where do you keep the bourbon?
I'll be right down. Chris, I've got a guest.
Please, Mom, I just don't want to be alone.
I said, where's the fucking bourbon? You should listen to your mother.
God damn it, Kristen, you ruin everything. Every time I bring a man home, you spoil it. You know what your shrink says? You're just trying to get a little attention.
And then also a Q&A with Freddy himself afterwards.
Let me ask you a question. Why the Dream Warriors as opposed to the First Nightmare? Was that something you guys discussed?
Yeah, we were talked about it and we decided the first film is kind of the obvious choice. Everyone just assumed, let's go with the first one if he's going to be there. But it's a great film, but it's not really... Freddy himself is not actually that big of a character in it. He's more of a dark shadow. He's there, but it's not the Freddy character that everyone knows. So we thought, let's go with 3, which is the best one, and it's... so much fun.
Well, finally, before we get to the Festival of Fear, there's some really cool horror-related stuff happening at the Toronto Underground. Beginning on Thursday, July the 21st, with a free 35mm screening of Fright Night, which is actually part of Rue Morgue's Cinema Macabre monthly screening series. The first time ever at the Toronto Underground.
Yep, to celebrate their move for showing Fright Night. And let me be clear, this is the original Fright Night. This isn't the remake.
When's the remake coming out?
It's early August, I think.
Oh, fuck.
So this is the real, true, good Fright Night coming out on 35mm, and it's free. So
why free? Just as an act of goodwill? Because
yeah,
it's
the first Cinema Cabre at the Underground Cinema, so as Rue Morgue's and the Underground's gift to all the fans... have a screening on us.
Wow.
Fright Night. If you love being scared, this could be the night of your life.
And what else is happening that weekend?
Oh, that weekend, July 23rd, we have a Dario Argento double bill with Deep Red and Demons. A very, very rare screening of Demons. Because I can tell you personally, we've tried to screen this film twice before and have never been able to track down a print. But the insane guys at Vagrancy Films found one, and they're putting on a screening.
Ah, look what I was given. Hey, doesn't the movie have a title? No, maybe it's a sneak preview. You know, they show a brand new movie in a theater just to see the reaction of the public. Where is the Metropole? I've never heard of it. Hey, look, Kathy, there it is. Hey, you don't think it's gonna be a horror movie, do you? You know, I just hate them. And I hate missing the start. Come on.
And also on July 22nd, we have Repo the Genetic Opera at 9:30. It's accompanied with a live shadow cast.
What the hell's that?
It's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show when the people act out the movie in front of the film.
Right.
It's basically you take the film, make fun of it a bit, add some life and character.
All right, because you got to do something to that movie.
I agree. I am a member of the actual cast, and okay. So I will actually be in that month. I'll be performing Bill Moseley's part if you want to come out and see it. But as a member of the cast, I'm going to say this. It's not a good movie. But the shadow cast makes it very funny and very lively and really enjoyable.
So there you go, folks. We've not only given you a reason to start booking your travel plans to get up here for August the 26th to the 29th, but I think we've started to make a solid case for why you should make the move permanent.
Definitely.
For more information about the Festival of Fear events at the Toronto Underground Cinema, check out their website at www.torontounderground.cinema.com.
All right, that's $50 fine and time served. Next case.
Hi, Freddy Krueger here.
Hello, Robert England here.
You know, from Nightmare on Elm Street.
And you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Get out of here, Robert, you stupid wimp.
Oh,
Rue Morgue Radio. Here's a song from a movie coming out called The Legend of the Psychotic Forest Ranger. He just wants to ask you a few questions. It's Ball Arena. As we put on our sunglasses at night, and come on, Eileen, stay tuned.
Okay, give me the studio. Studio in. Camera 3, Don.
All right, now it's time to check in with our lovely little leprechaun of the latest horror happenings. Fiddle-dee-dee, where could she be? Where could be the Shannon? Actually, yeah, where is the Shannon? Is she here? She's not here. What the? That's weird.
Joe, I'm getting worried.
I mean, hell, nobody's seen the guest. What do you figure to use if she doesn't show up?
Wing it. You'll have to make do without her help.
All right, fuck it. I'll do it myself. Horror Realm is planning a summer of scares for fans in the Pittsburgh area. Cool events in the middle of a hot summer include 12 weeks of horror film series, horror author series, and basket case night featuring Beverly Bonner plus more. For details, check out horrorrealmcon.com. Go Green with Dr. Gangrene returns for the fourth time with three new PSAs featuring classic movie monsters roaming the streets of Nashville, Tennessee. While the good doc spreads the word on keeping Music City clean, the PSAs will air locally in Nashville, and you can check them out on Dr. Gangrene's YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dr. Gangrene. And digital developer Candy Gun Games today announced the release of their zombie defense game, Dead Block, on Xbox Live. Dead Block features the survivors of zombie apocalypse who form an unlikely alliance to defend their territory against invading zombie hordes. Something going on in the world of horror and you want the whole world to know, just email Shannon at RimWorldRadio.com, and while you're doing it, ask her where the hell she is. Because I don't fucking know. Here's music from 28 Days Later. Ave Maria, stay tuned for Satan. Oh, the Blood Spattered Guide is coming up.
Ooh.
This is Pastor Morgan Wilkes of the Cloven Path Ministries, and we are transmitting electronic satanic waves to you right now on Rue Morgue Radio.
In the name of Satan, the ruler of earth, the king of earth, the chief of the serfs, I command the forces of darkness to bestow their infernal power upon us. Save us, Lord Satan, from the treacherous and the violent. Oh, Satan, spirit of the earth, God of liberty, open wide the gates of hell and come forth from the abyss by these names. Satan!
Satan!
Beelzebub!
Beelzebub!
Leviathan!
Leviathan!
Asmodeus!
Asmodeus!
Abaddon!
Abaddon!
The night is my domain.
Hello, I'm Lisa Larusser. I'm your blood-spatter guide to music on Rue Morgue Radio.
The Black Widow. Isn't she lovely and so deadly? Her kiss is 15 times more poisonous than the rattlesnake. And you see, her venom is highly neurotoxic.
This week, it's part two of my conversation with Martin Popoff, heavy metal author. This week, anyway, on the program, expert on satanic heavy metal of the 60s, 70s, and beyond. Thank you for coming back, Martin.
Hey, no problem, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So we talked a lot about Black Sabbath last week, and in your new book, Black Sabbath FAQ, there is a chapter called Creepy Competition, Black Sabbath versus Black Widow. What is Black Sabbath versus Black Widow? Who were they?
Black Widow is a band that came along. They were kind of like a progressive rock band. I think they had flute and stuff. It was pretty mellow, but they've always been talked about in the context of heavy metal because they did have this massive satanic image, and they indeed did do satanic sacrifice on stage. So they were on CBS out of the UK, and they were constantly getting confused with Black Sabbath. This is like 1970, 1971. They were running up and down England, and, you know, audiences thought one was the other, rock critics even. There's a famous review, I think it might even been a Rolling Stone review, where they completely got the two bands confused. But Black Widow was definitely a much more satanic band than Black Sabbath, although Black Sabbath, you know, they could cause doom quakes just with their music alone, let alone, you know, how satanic or not the lyrics were.
Help me in my search for knowledge. I must learn the secret art. Who dares to help me raise the one whose very name seals my heart?
So this comes into play, the idea of a satanic image versus just music that sounds really horrific and scary in and of itself.
Yeah, and I mean, bands like Black Widow, and we can talk about Coven from the U.S. as well.
It's pronounced Coven, man. What else could it be pronounced?
Coven, that's the proper pronunciation.
No, Coven sounds like oven, man, and that's just, it doesn't work.
The idea was almost that it was an extension of witchcraft, rather than Black Sabbath, who just kind of threw a little bit of it in there for fun, really. It wasn't even a gimmick for them. It was almost like just entertainment. Bands like Black Widow and Coven, who were a band from the States, from the Midwest, led by Jinx Dawson, those guys were also completely satanic. Their first album was called Witchcraft Destroys Minds and Reaps Souls. They later had an album called Blood on the Snow, and they were also into this. They were also into like full-on satanic ritual on stage.
Those sound like extreme metal album titles, but it was way before that.
Yeah, and it wasn't very heavy. I mean, Coven as well, you know, almost everybody who went and got those records, just like the Black Widow, were completely disappointed.
Right.
So there weren't a lot of these bands out there. I mean, other ones that do get mentioned are more like people who have been known to be into Satanism. Like there's Monument, there's Graham Bond from Graham Bond Organization. Not too many others besides that. Again, it was almost like it's fairly dark music, but not that dark lyrically.
So what was Coven's philosophy and what did they do in their stage shows or in their album art that makes them memorable today, that makes people look at them as one of the precursors of this kind of music?
Well, it was Black Widow that actually had a calling to arms called "Come to the Sabbath," which King Diamond and Merciful Fate actually had a song called that later on. But Coven, what else they were known for? I mean, they had a skull on the front cover. They had flames coming out of the logo at the top, and they had a devil on the Blood on the Snow cover. But also, Jinx Dawson was one of the first to do the Dio heavy metal salute. And another just very bizarre thing, they actually had someone in the band, a guy in a band called Oz Osbourne, before Ozzy Osbourne, or at a parallel time. And I remember there was some story about when they met at one point, and they mentioned this, it like freaked out the Sabbath guys that they had this guy named Oz Osbourne.
Maybe that's what ultimately ended up freaking out Ozzy Osbourne as well, because, you know, I maintain he's kind of like gone a little batshit crazy train, right? So maybe there were two of them, and then like he just got to him after a while.
Yeah, absolutely. All aboard!
Ozzy Osbourne has admitted that he thinks that he is a vehicle being used by Satan, declaring, "I don't know if I'm a medium for some outside source. Whatever it is, frankly, I hope it's not what I think, Satan."
So I know that I could talk to you for hours about this stuff, and you could talk for years about this stuff. I'm going to direct the listeners, if they're interested in any of these groups or records that we've talked about, to see the books on your website, because trust me, the guy's got it covered. If you need to know any information, Martin Popoff, the metallurgist, is out there, and we'll put a link on RumOrg Radio to where you can get the books. But before I let you go, I want to ask you, you said when you were a kid this stuff freaked you out. Does it still freak you out?
Absolutely not, because over the years I've had 50 or 60 interviews with the Black Sabbath guys. You realize after a lot of time they're just regular dudes. They're funny. They don't take this stuff very seriously. You get an old rocker into his 60s and he becomes a conservative. Now it's just all steeped in nostalgia because I've been listening to it for 30, 35 years. This stuff is actually the friendly stuff. It's black metal and everything since that is the stuff that really sounds menacing to me now.
Now you guys gotta look menacing. Can you be more menacing? Oh man, alright, well we gotta do what we can do then, I guess.
Alright, well let's get in a little time machine with our lava lamps and our pentagrams and go back to a time when that stuff was freaky. I'd like to play something by Coven.
It's pronounced Coven, man. What else could it be pronounced?
What would be a good track?
Well, oddly enough, I mean, on their very first album, the first track is the same way it is on the first Black Sabbath album. It's actually called Black Sabbath, which is definitely very freaky. So let's go with Black Sabbath.
Sounds perfect. Thanks again, Martin. And I know you're going to be writing more books of doom, and maybe we can have you back on the show in the future.
Thanks very much.
This is Coven and Black Sabbath on RumOrg Radio.
They journeyed far to rock and mountain pinnacle, a gathering of dread and awesome spectacle. Each in his hand a candle of black, their faces grave, a death-like mask. The prince tuned, the person of gold, reigning upon his throne, distant and far remote. The cauldron boiled and the fires burned, the deepening shadows to figures burn. Bubbling pot of unctions and potions, flames revealing the obscene motions.
must lose them. When good has been twisted, when good has been cured, then love is resisted, and blood will be spilled. A curse you'll be, from toes to eyes, a curse you'll be, until he dies.
This is Roger Corman. You're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
If you have it, you don't need it. If you need it, you don't have it. If you have it, you need more of it. If you have more of it, you don't need less of it. You need it to get it.
Rue Morgue Radio.
And you certainly need it to get more of it. But if you don't already have any of it to begin with, you can't get any of it to get started, which means you really have no idea how to get it in the first place, do you?
Rue Morgue Radio.
You can share it, sure. You can even stockpile it if you'd like. But you can't fake it. Wanting it, needing it, wishing for it.
Yeah. Rue Morgue.
Extra large.
Radio station.
The point is, if you've never had any of it, ever, people just seem to know.
Hello, this is Barbara Steele, and you're listening to Rue Morgue Radio.
Testing, testing audio and video, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, this is Joe Daniels, talking to you from the flight deck of Admiral Carling's flagship here in the Pacific Ocean. The space capsule is estimated to enter the stratosphere at exactly blah, 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 okay? And I'll take it from there when the time comes.
The Caustic Critic. Critic. Critic.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling, bowling, bowling.
They're real.
This stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critic.
Here. All right, this is feedback.
Buongiorno, is the Lancer last chance?
Hey Joe, how are the Dodgers doing?
How the hell do I know? We got a job to do.
I suppose, Lance, you pawn this off on me?
Si.
As revenge?
Si, si.
For Red Riding Hood?
Si, si, si.
Speaking of which, we got a couple of interesting letters, but we're going to address those on a future edition of the Rue Morgue podcast.
Oh, you are such a cockatiel, you know that?
You accusing me of fucking a chicken, motherfucker?
But we got some really good letters this week, didn't we?
We did, sir.
Specifically, one about our review of Red Riding Hood.
Indeed, yeah.
But you'll have to listen to the Rue Morgue podcast to find out.
That's right.
What that's all about.
All right, already.
But I guess, in an act of revenge, you pawned this curiosity off on me. It's called Alien 2 on Earth. It's from 1980, and it's an Italian cash-in on the success of Ridley Scott's Alien, posing as a pretend sequel to
si.
The movie.
It's also known in as Solitaire.
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 In typical Italian fashion of the time.
La impegno cinematografico. Distributrice per l'Italia del film Alien 2 sulla Terra sconsiglia la visione del film a persone facilmente impressionabili.
Of course, such antics brought some bona fide horror masterpieces. After all, Lucio Fulci's Zombie 2 was presented as a mock sequel to George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead. But he inadvertently started a whole new tradition of the Italian splatter horror movie, which this clearly owes a great deal to.
Indeed, and we can also say that even though this is based on Alien, it is really not any kind of masterpiece whatsoever, sir.
This is not a commercial announcement. I repeat, this is not a commercial announcement. The producers and distributors of this film advise against, I repeat, advise against anyone seeing it who is easily frightened.
Well, first of all, if I was in 1980 an Italian going to the cinema and slapping down my money and thinking that I was actually going to see a sequel to Ridley Scott's gothic masterpiece Alien, I would be demanding my money back.
Revolution. That's what we have.
But putting that obvious disappointment aside, I do have to commend these filmmakers for their resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness?
Absolutely.
Is that another word for, like, rip-offedness?
We'll go inside the capsule now. Okay, that'll do. Make sure you superimpose the stock footage sign or the audience will think it's live. And keep this footage on hand at all times. If something goes out during the show, we can always put it up. Got that, Sam?
Sure thing, boss.
Yeah, but obviously they didn't have the money to create fantasy gothic alien landscapes, so they did something quite ingenious. They found a terrestrial setting that has an otherworldly feel. So they took the whole alien concept and put it underground in a great cave system with all these great stalagmites and stalactites. So all of a sudden it becomes sort of like The Descent meets Alien.
Oh, you have given it way too much by putting those two movies together. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised you're not more of an admirer of this.
I would like to have seen this back in 1980. That would have been kind of interesting. I would have been 14.
I think it's more interesting now.
I think it's more interesting now just to see it as a complete throwback to that time, because this is a movie, let's face it, that nobody has ever seen, especially in North America. It never had a DVD release at all. It never had an official VHS release. You could only get it like someone who copied it off a copy, and it would have looked like crap. I had never even heard about this movie until this company, Midnight Legacy, decided to release it as their inaugural title.
On Blu-ray.
And you know what? They were only going to do it on Blu-ray, and then they decided, you know what? It's never had a DVD release, so let's do both at the same time.
Okay. I do admire its resourcefulness, especially that there are two major set pieces that take place in a bowling alley.
Yeah.
Clearly, like, the producer must have been like, look, we got a bowling alley for 2 days. Can you figure out something to do with it?
Done.
All right, yeah, sure. Alien in a bowling alley. Let's go for it.
I have to say, I think this is the very first film ever to feature aliens in a bowling alley.
A lot of interesting Fulci-inspired splatter set pieces distinguish this movie.
Really?
Make it entertaining.
Okay, yeah.
You're kidding? There's great ones.
There's a
moment where the alien bursts out, not through somebody's chest, but through somebody's eyeball.
Right. Maybe we should tell people what it's kind of about.
It's basically almost the exact plot of Alien, except in a cave.
Right. So
with a couple of scenes in a bowling alley.
Right. There's
end of plot synopsis.
The beginning starts out with some horrible stock footage.
I said end of plot synopsis. Why are you persisting?
I want people to know more about this. I want them to be fair warned. Actually, I recommend this movie. I do.
Say what?
It's crappy, it's kitschy, but it is definitely a product of its time. If you remember Blood, when it was like that bright red kind of finger paint blood, and when you could buy a pound of hamburger meat and turn it into an alien,
I can really relate to that.
This is the movie for you.
Flying sock puppets in lieu of special effects.
They really are sock puppets, aren't they?
This is for you.
Oh.
There's another couple of interesting things. A couple of moments that prefigure John Carpenter's The Thing. First of all, the alien in question has the same quality as the monster in The Thing. The alien sort of inhabits another body or changes shape to appear as another body. Of course, that's also referencing the Howard Hawks movie, but there's a great moment where the head, remember the head that kind of stretches off from the neck and then falls off and spills out all the guts? Didn't that remind you of the Thing?
It did. That was actually kind of neat, yeah.
But so that, I wonder if that in any way influenced John Carpenter.
Wow, I have to say no. Big time. It doesn't even influence me.
And we have to mention the telepathic connection between the woman and the alien. That was an interesting twist and a moment where you realized, yeah, we're watching an Italian horror movie here.
Plus, there's a lot of full frontal nudity. That wasn't it.
Alien 2 is out now on Blu-ray and DVD through Midnight Legacy. I say check it out. It's an interesting curiosity from a historical perspective. Until next time, this is Feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance. Ciao, bella.
I'm going in the control room. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Hawkwind, alien I am.
What kind of receiver would be capable of processing these signals?
A system designed to modify the electromagnetic spectrum and carry those messages directly to the human brain.
Oh,
Alien there. Yes, Alien. I am Alien. You are. My fiends, thanks for tuning in to RooMorgue Radio. We've had lots of fun, but it's time to go. Yeah, and time to go, there's such sweet sorrow. What say you, Guillermo del Toro?
Hi, this is Guillermo del Toro, and you're listening to RooMorgue Radio.
Okay, thanks, man. All right, thanks for tuning in, fiends. Do we have time for one more tune, too? Sure, let's cram one more in there.
And that's your solution to everything, to move on to the sea. It's not gonna happen.
No.
It'll be Jonathan Colton, Creepy Doll. Thank you for tuning in, my Creepy Dolls. Follow me on Twitter at Tomb Dragon here and check out my TV show, Tomb TV, at youtube.com/TombDragonEar. Until we meet again, my friends, adios!
In a town in the woods at the top of a hill, there's a house where no one lives. So you take a big bag of your big city money there and buy it. But at night when the house is dark and you're all alone, there's a noise upstairs. At the top of the stairs there's a door and you take a deep breath and try it. And the flashlight shows you something moving just inside the door. It's a tattered dress and a feeling you have felt somewhere before. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth to swallow you whole. It was just a dream. In the morning you head into town, cause you wanna go antiquing. In the store there's a strange old man with a wandering eye and a withered hand. When he hands you the old wooden box, you can hear his old bones creaking. And you know what you will find inside the moment that you see. Someone's carved your name into the tarnished silver key. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth. Some tea, and the doll disapprovingly asks if you really need that much honey. You decide that you've had enough, and you lock the doll in the wooden box. You put the box in the fireplace next to your bag of big city money. As the smoke fills up your tiny room, there's nothing you can do. Far too late, you see, the one inside the box is you. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a ruined eye, it's always open. And there's a creepy doll that always follows you. It's got a pretty mouth to swallow you whole.
Thank you.
fucking a chicken, motherfucker?
Damn right.
Oh, you are such a cockatiece, you know that?